The headlines: Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi tells the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit that Tehran seeks to expand its ties with Central Asian countries. Muslim pilgrims gather in the Iraqi city of Karbala to mark the end of the 40-day mourning period for Imam Hussein, who was martyred during the 7th century Battle of Karbala. And also, the British pound drops to its lowest level against the dollar in 37 years amid growing indications that the country is heading for a prolonged recession. Hello and welcome, everybody. Iran's president has been addressing the summit of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization in Uzbekistan, where he highlighted the capacity of the alliance to offset Washington's unilateralism.
In recent years, political and economic multilateralism has come under serious threat. The U.S. government is trying to impose its demands and domestic law on the international system and sovereign countries through outright bullying and coercion. Washington's unilateralism is undoubtedly aimed at hampering independent countries' progress. The Shanghai Cooperation Organization needs to adopt new solutions and take specific measures, such as sustainable trade among its member states, to counter Washington's cruel sanctions and its unilateralism.
The Iranian president also censured the U.S. for pursuing wrong policies in other countries, especially in Asia. He noted that Washington's years-long presence in Afghanistan brought nothing but terrorism and insecurity to the country. Raisi said international law should not be enforced by the countries that spread terrorism. Elsewhere in his remarks, Raisi underlined Iran's potentials in transit and energy sectors to further develop ties among the bloc's members. He also noted that Tehran seeks to boost ties with Central Asian countries. Uzbekistan's president also told the 22nd SEO summit that a memorandum on Iran's full accession to the regional body would be signed on Thursday. Iran signed an SEO memorandum of commitments and agreements on Wednesday. Also, Chinese President Xi Jinping has addressed the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit as well, where he called for reshaping the international order. Xi said members of the organization must work together to promote the development of the international order in a more just and rational direction. The Russian president also addressed the summit taking place in Uzbekistan's city of Samarkand. Vladimir Putin hailed what he called new centers of power in the world. He also expressed hope that the Shanghai Cooperation Organization's member states increase efforts to boost economic cooperation. The organization is regarded as the largest regional bloc in the world. It has 8 official members, namely China, Russia, India, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan. Iran is expected to become a full member next year. Well, millions of Muslims have converged on the Iraqi holy city of Karbala as the mourning period for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein culminates with the Arba'in ceremonies. The pilgrims have come together at Imam Hussein's holy shrine in Karbala. Most of them have been traveling on foot for days to reach the compound for Arba'in processions. This is the first time since 2020 that the pilgrimage is being held without any COVID restrictions. Authorities in Karbala say exceptionally high numbers of pilgrims have already traveled to the city. From Iran alone, over 3 million pilgrims have joined the ceremonies. Arba'in is one of the largest religious congregations in the world. It marks 40 days after Ashura, the martyrdom anniversary of the third Shia Imam and the Prophet Muhammad's grandson, who was martyred along with 72 of his companions during the Battle of Karbala in 680 AD. Elsewhere, Lebanon is reeling from a worsening economic meltdown, prompting desperate measures. Now people are robbing banks to access their own money frozen in the system. A total of 7 banks have been held up since Wednesday. Financial institutions have locked most depositors out of their savings following government restrictions on how much money people can withdraw from their own accounts. Lebanon has been gripped by an economic crisis since 2019. The Lebanese pound has since lost 95% of its value. This has plunged 3/4 of its population into poverty. Lebanon is in need of a bailout. However, the International Monetary Fund says it wants to see economic reforms before it releases billions of dollars in loans and aid. Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah blames U.S. sanctions for the country's worst economic crisis. Well, our very own Mariam Saleh is joining us now from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, with more. Mariam, please bring us up to speed on all the latest details regarding this situation. It's not even being called an economic crisis anymore. It's being called an economic meltdown. What can you share with us?
Yes, it is definitely a meltdown. We're coming to near what we can call a catastrophe, actually. We're seeing the high numbers of poverty. We're seeing how people have actually lost patience. Most of the depositors, those who do have savings in the banks, and it is a big number, a big amount of people who do have that. We're talking about businessmen, we're talking about merchants, we're talking about people who are even making savings in order to keep them for their retirement and so on, their pension money. So all of those people are in desperate need of that money. You see, for example, from those people who were going to the bank, some of them using plastic guns, actually, to try to create that fear and force the banks to pay them their money. We had one man who has seven children, and we are just starting the school year, and there's so much challenges for the people, so many payments that people need. And we also see that this person, for example, owns a lot of people because he has a business, he has his own business and so on. We had another person who needed to pay for her sister's cancer hospitalization, another person who had his father in hospital as well. So we have all of these people who need their money, and they do have that money in the banks, but they're not allowed to take that money because this is what we're talking. This is a sort of haircut that we are mentioning, we are seeing, and we are also seeing that these banks have enforced this law on the people. Now, if you take a look at what experts are saying, many experts are saying that the banking sector had always been part of the deep state in Lebanon. It is a deep state that had enforced a certain economic policy in the country where even politicians did not have much to say. Of course, the government does get paid by the central bank, and the central bank is a very, in the essence of that banking sector, however, they had what we call their autonomy. They can rule things as they wish when it comes to the financial or monetary issues. And what we saw in 2019 was vast amounts of U.S. dollars being transferred outside the country, and that led to a higher price of the dollar. Now the Lebanese lira has lost more than 95% of its value, and now we also see the parliament calling for tripling the price of tripling the salaries of governmental workers. That will put Lebanon in an even bigger crisis. So what we see here is actually, as you mentioned, it is a meltdown. It is more than just a crisis, and Lebanon definitely needs to be bailed out. And that bailout is, of course, waiting for conditions from the International Monetary Fund, because they have enforced this and Lebanon's government has accepted it. We have another solution, or another option, if we may say, which Hezbollah Secretary General has stressed, is to work towards drilling for natural resources, trying to get Lebanon its money from its own resources. And of course, Sayyid Nasrallah has accused the United States of stopping Lebanon from drilling in its own waters, even in terrestrial resources as well. So what we saw also concerning the maritime borders, those negotiations could probably lead to a sort of light at the end of the tunnel for Lebanon. If that happens, then this could probably reflect on the banking sector. But for now, we're going to see the banks closed for at least half of the next week, but we still see the depositors as well warning and threatening that they will continue to do the same as they did today in order to force the banks to pay them their own money.
Thanks a lot, Mariam Saleh, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Well, critics of the monarchy have gathered in the Welsh city of Cardiff to protest against the accession of the new king following his mother's death. Protesters held up signs reading, "Not my king," and "Democracy Now," as Charles III paid a visit to the city. They questioned his hereditary accession, or rather ascension, to the throne, arguing that the country's new head of state was being imposed on people without their consent. Police arrested a number of protesters. Anti-monarchy protests have been held all across the UK, including the city of Edinburgh and the capital, London. This is while thousands of people are also remembering Queen Elizabeth II following her death last week. She's currently lying and state in London's ancient Westminster Hall before her state funeral on Monday. Well, the British pound has dropped its lowest level against the dollar in 37 years amid signs that a recession is already underway in the country. The sterling fell more than 1% to under $1.14. It also hit a new record low against the euro as well. That comes as retail sales dropped more than expected in August amid rising prices and a cost of living crisis. The decline has added to fears that the British economy is already in recession. The economy grew more slowly than expected in July. It had already contracted by 0.1%. In the second quarter, the inflation there is at a 40-year high of more than 10%. Economists predict that cash-strapped consumers are expected to further cut back on spending in the next months, aggravating the situation. Well, European countries have been paying more for food and energy bills over the past months, mainly due to the economic fallout of the Ukraine conflict. In fact, official data indicate that Eurozone inflation hit another record high last month. The EU Statistics Office Eurostat confirmed the annual inflation rate in the 19 countries using the euro stood at 9.1% in August. That's a surge of 0.2% from July. The current rate is the highest since the euro was created in 1999. The rise in food and energy prices have exacerbated a cost of living crisis that has hit households and businesses across the Eurozone area. And Europe's still grappling with travel chaos caused by strikes over pay, this time in France. Around 1,000 flights to and from the country were canceled Friday as air traffic controllers stopped working. That caused delays across European airspace, too. France's air traffic controllers union says its members want higher salaries to cope with rising inflation. The union says it's also worried about recruitment as a large number of existing workers will retire in the coming years. Europe has been hit by a summer of strikes that has seen walkouts by workers of different transport services. That comes as the continent is facing record high inflation rates fueled by soaring energy prices. We're now joined by our correspondent, Chris Stenhond, who's with us from the French capital, Paris. Chris, give us more details about this strike action being taken by air traffic controllers and the disruptions that it has set, with the ripple effects also affecting other European countries' airspace as well.
Well, the air traffic controllers have done a successful strike today because more than 55% of the short and medium haul services were cancelled today, Friday. Also, 10% of the long-haul flights have been cancelled. So it has affected especially the flights inside France, but also inside Europe. It's due, as you said, by the record high inflation rates due to rising energy and food prices. And in fact, the workers and their unions, they are demanding that salaries should cope with the rising inflation. Now, Air France company, they promised 5% increase of the salary, but after calculation, the workers and their unions, they said that this is not enough to cope with the inflation, an inflation that is estimated to be between 6 and 9% on a yearly base. So it's an important question, the coping of the salaries with the inflation, which is a real problem for most of the people in France and in Europe. There is a second problem. Unions are also worried about recruitment because a large number of existing workers, they will retire in the coming years and they will not be replaced correctly. Correctly means that the companies are hiring workers, but in not as civil servants or not on a stable base. They are like interim workers with a lack of qualification. For instance, the high inflation rates, the current economy crisis is affecting not only the transport sector. In the national education, the food, the schoolrooms are overfull, and there is a lack of personnel. The same in the public health sector. There are salaries are bad. A lot of people are burned out, and many people are running away from the public sector to the private sector. So there is not really a consistent policy of the French government to arrange this problem. There are some kinds of arrangements, like there is a decrease of the fuel price. at the petrol station from 2.2 euros for a liter down to 1.6%. That's one of the very few positive measures taken by the French government, which is also due to the consistent pressure of the Yellow Vest movement, for instance. But generally, there is a very general worrying by the workers, by the popular people about this increasing inflation. To respond to that, there is a huge day on the 29th of September, end of this month, a national day of mobilization of the private and the public sector against this kind of rising of energy and food prices, and demanding concrete measures from the French government.
All right, thanks a lot, Christian Hahn, joining us from the French capital, Paris. Well, Pakistan is grappling with a surge in cases of waterborne diseases such as dengue fever following recent floods there.
We do not have the exact data, but according to the data that we have, more than 4,000 people are suffering from this. According to the data we're receiving, this tally is increasing by about 150 to 200 patients daily. It is widespread, but we're trying to contain its vector, the mosquito.
The minister said other conditions, including diarrhea, malaria, and skin diseases, are also widespread. The health crisis is adding to the problems of the Pakistani authorities. They've been under pressure to deliver aid to millions of people displaced by the floods. The natural disaster was caused by monsoon rains and melting glaciers, affecting almost 33 million people. Nearly 1,500 have lost their lives. Pakistan has repeatedly called for international help to deal with the aftermath of the floods. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Here. path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of our weekly series, Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to mankind, the Holy Quran, that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. In our last program in this series, we completed the explanation of Surah Hadid, and from this Friday onwards, we embark on explanation of the next surah, that is Surah Al-Mujadila, or the Pleader, which is number 58 in the serial order of compilation of the Holy Quran. It has 22 ayahs and was revealed in Medina. It mentions the complaint of a woman whose husband had put her away for no good reason for resorting to the pagan Arab formula known as zihar, which consists of the words, "You are to me as the back of my mother." This was a pagan custom to imply a kind of divorce that freed the husband from any responsibility for conjugal duties as well as providing support for children without allowing the wife the freedom to leave the husband's home or to contract a second marriage. The woman, who along with her husband had become a Muslim, pleaded to the Holy Prophet against this unjust behavior and said that she also lacked the means to support her little children. Her prayer to Allah and her plea was accepted, and this brutal and unjust custom of the pagan Arabs was abolished through revelation of this surah in the Holy Quran, which goes on to state that those who oppose God and the Prophet, or fall to the temptations of Satan, or lie in the oaths and make intrigue against the Prophet, will be defeated and suffer humiliation both in this world and in the hereafter. While Hezbollah, or the party of God, which means those who have firm faith in God, will triumph. The penalty prescribed for the husband who repents his act is to set a slave free, or fast for 3 months, and if not, to feed 60 destitute persons. Then only he can claim his conjugal rights. Such penalties were instrumental in the abolition of slavery in a rational and evolutionary way without creating chaos and disorder in society, in addition to providing welfare for the needy. As for the merits of reciting this surah, a narration from the Holy Prophet reads, "Whoever recites Surah Hadid and Surah Mujadila and reflects and acts upon them will be regarded as a member of Hezbollah, or the party of God." Now let us listen to ayahs 1 and 2 of Surah Mujadila.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qad sami'a Allahu qawla allati tujadiluka fi zawjiha wa tashtaki ila Allahi wallahu yasma'u tahawurakuma. Inna Allaha sami'un basir. الذين يظاهرون منكم من نسائهم ما هن أمهاتهم إن أمهاتهم إلا اللائي ولدنهم وإنهم ليقولون منكرا من القول وزورا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَفُوٌ غَفُورٌ.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Allah has certainly heard the speech of her who pleads with you about her husband and complains to Allah. Allah hears the conversation between the two of you. Indeed, Allah is all-hearing, all-seeing. As for those of you who repudiate their wives by zihar, they are not their mothers. Their mothers are only those who bore them, and indeed, they utter an outrageous utterance and a lie. And indeed, Allah is all-excusing, all-forgiving. These ayahs negate the unjust and irrational pagan Arab practice of zihar, which we have already explained, and denounce those who, in spite of becoming Muslim, still cling on to such customs, which are indeed lies and outrageous utterances, and for the forgiveness of which the husbands are required to pay certain penalties. It is worth noting that Ayah 1 refers three times to the power of hearing of the unseen but omnipresent Creator, who listens to whatever we say and is even aware of the thoughts that flash across our minds. Therefore, we should avoid lies and evil utterances and instead supplicate to God to answer our prayers. The next ayah clearly says that those who tell their wives, "You are like my mother to me," utter a falsehood, since the mother is the one who gives birth, which means being a mother or a child depends neither on words nor sophistry, but it is an indisputable biological reality. In other words, if a husband were to say even 100 times to his wife that she is a mother to him, it is nothing but falsehood, for which he should repent and seek forgiveness from the Almighty Creator. From these ayahs we learn that 1. The Holy Prophet of Islam was always accessible to all the people who could, without any restrictions, approach him for their needs or seek clarification of issues which were not clear to them. 2. The oppressive and irrational customs of pre-Islamic Arabia against women were either cancelled or corrected by Islam. 3. The Almighty Creator is well aware of all family issues as well as social relations, and has accordingly decreed just and fair laws. 4. Husband and wife should not indulge in evil behavior towards each other, since abusive words have negative impact on family life, including the tender psychology of children. Let us now listen to ayahs 3 and 4 of Surah Mujadala of the Holy Quran.
وَالَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِن نِّسَائِهِمْ ثُمَّ يَعُودُونَ لِمَا قَالُوا فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن يَتَمَاسَّا. ذلكم توعظون به والله بما تعملون خبير. فمن لم يجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين من قبل أن يتماسا, فمن لم يستطع فإطعام 60 مسكينا. ذلك لتؤمنوا بالله ورسوله, وتلك حدود الله, وللكافرين عذاب أليم.
And those who repudiate their wives by zihar and then retract from what they have said shall set free a slave before they may touch each other. This you're advised to carry out, and Allah is well aware of what you do. He who cannot afford to free a slave shall fast for 2 successive months, before they, husband and wife, may touch each other. If he cannot do so, he shall feed 60 destitute persons. This is in order that you may have faith in Allah and His Prophet. These are Allah's bounds, and there is a painful punishment for the faithless. Here it is stressed that merely by uttering zihar, a husband cannot divorce his wife, and the one who utters such a phrase should retract his words and pay the penalty stipulated in these ayahs for irresponsible behavior before resuming the conjugal relationship. These penalties are to strengthen one's faith in God and the Prophet, and refusal to observe these divine injunctions is an indication of disbelief for which there is painful punishment in afterlife. In other words, compensation for sins through expiation strengthens the pillars of faith and makes a Muslim practically committed to observance of divine laws. These ayahs teach us the following points. 1. Islam negates irrational customs and superstitions that are indeed a form of oppression in society, and prescribes penalties for those who indulge in such abominable behavior. 2. It is not lawful to utter absurd and abusive words. 3. Islam has used every opportunity to set slaves free, so that this tyrannical habit of holding fellow human beings in bondage is eradicated. And 4. Expiation and fines are stipulated in various forms to remove social injustice and to help the poor and the needy. And to conclude this week's program, here are ayahs 5 and 6 of Surah Mujadala of the Holy Quran.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحَادُّونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ كُبِتُوا كَمَا كُبِتَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فَيُنَبِّئُهُم بِمَا عَمِلُوا أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٌ
Indeed, those who oppose Allah and His Prophet will be subdued just as were subdued those before them. And we have certainly sent down manifest signs, and there is a humiliating punishment for the faithless. The day when Allah will raise them all together, He will inform them about what they have done. Allah has kept account of it, while they forgot it, and Allah is witness to all things. These ayahs mean to say that refusal to observe divine laws is tantamount to opposing God and the Holy Prophet, and such persons will meet the fate of the disobedient generations of the past. God Almighty has sent down manifest signs for the guidance of mankind, and for the faithless, the punishment is terrible. That is, chastisement in the transient life of the mortal world, and for those who do not repent and reform themselves, the torment in afterlife is more severe. On the day of resurrection, when all people will be raised to life for the final judgment, God will inform the defaulters of what they used to do, even if they have forgotten their words, their deeds and actions, which are all minutely recorded in the divine register. The Almighty Creator is the witness of everything. These ayahs teach us that, one, any opposition and obstruction to divine commandments will result in misery for man, both in this world and in the hereafter. And two, those belying the prophets are actually belying God and are thus doomed. And three, on the day of judgment, the disbelievers and sinners will be given the record of their misdeeds to see themselves before being punished.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of عمل انسان بعد از ایمان.
Self purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned. In an authentic narration by Prophet Muhammad, we read, there are eight sentences or attributes written about Imam al-Hussein at the throne of Allah. Now, Prophet Muhammad wants to introduce Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam as depicted in the eyes of Allah.
فرمود کنار عرش خدا نوشته شده یک مصباح و هدا.
Prophet Muhammad continues, the eight attributes are Al-Hussein is the light of guidance. Al-Hussein is the ark of salvation. Al-Hussein is the imam of the goodness. Al-Hussein is the imam of the blessing. Al-Hussein is the imam of the glory. Al-Hussein is the imam of honor. Al-Hussein is the imam of knowledge. And finally, Al-Hussein is the imam for saving. These are the eight important tributes that are written on the throne of Allah about Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulema's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the Minbar you are listening to. May Allah accept your mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin was salatu was salam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibi qulubina wa shafi'i dhunubina abil qasim al mustafa Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
We can be sure we're getting it right if we are staying away from two things, inshallah, through Imam Hussein. Number one, Imam Hussein did what he did, gave his muhjah for Allah to save his servants, Allah's servants, from jahala, ignorance. And it doesn't necessarily mean ignorance versus knowledge. Sometimes you have knowledge, but you still have jahala. Jahl and jahala are different. Jahala can refer to negligence. Sometimes you even have knowledge, but you're not acting upon it. This jahala, Imam Hussein woke people up. He enlightened. He awakened. وَحَيْرَةِ الضَّلَالَ. Some people were bewildered, lost in misguidance. Imam Hussein showed them the way. There's another part. It says, وَقَدْ تَزَاوَرَ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ غَرَّتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَبَاعَ حَظَّهُ بِالْأَرْضَ لِلْأَدْنَى وَشَرَى آخِرَتَهُ بِالثَّمَنِ الْأَوْكَسِ. So it's talking about those who went against Imam Hussein. What characteristics did they have? The characteristics they had was, it says, those who were seduced by this worldly life, who sold their share of reward with the lowliest and meanest, retailed their hereafter, in other words, sold their hereafter with the cheapest price, acted haughtily, it says here, perished because of following their desires. So all in all, if Imam Hussein, in a nutshell, gave his muhjah, in a nutshell, the ones who went against him, their life, if you want to sum it all up, these were people who were just losers in the sense of not understanding the value of what they have in this life and selling their akhirah for what Allah has given them in this life, which is life itself. They sold everything of theirs for something that wasn't worth it. They sold their akhirah for what they have in this, for anything of this dunya. Whatever is in this dunya is going to perish eventually. So If I'm going to sell my akhirah, which is eternity, it better be worth it. These four lines here are making it clear that it wasn't worth it. So for us today, it's important for us, every time we are at that crossroad of wajib and haram, in a sense, we have a little tiny incy-wincy Karbala happening. Am I going to give whatever I have in the way of Allah, or am I going to sell akhirah? That share of akhirah, because of that sin at least, that much of my akhirah at least, am I willing to sell it for a low price? The ziyarah goes on, it talks about how Imam Hussein fought these enemies of Allah. Jahadahum fiq sabiran muhtasiba. These sacrifices that we want to make, it's not like it's going to be sweet as honey. Unless we've reached a certain level of ma'rifah that we can say it's sweeter than honey, but who are we kidding? At the end of the day, it's going to be bitter. So it takes sabr. We have to understand that sabr is part of it. Sabiran, and we have to have the right perspective as well. Muhtasiba. Muhtasiba means that it comes from hisab, being calculative. If I have gotten the math correctly and understand that the akhirah is worth more than the dunya, it's going to be easy for me. It's going to be doable and feasible at least for me to make those sacrifices and not be like these people who sold their akhirah for their dunya. So Imam Hussein, he did what he did. Sabiran muhtasiban. Sabiran means in practice he was patient, and intellectually speaking, he had the right outlook. He was doing hisab, calculating for himself, yes, this is worth it. The akhirah, if I am able to secure it for what I'm doing, then it's worth it. Ashura is going to be a day, it'll be over. Bibi Zainab 2 years later passed away. 100 years later we're going to die, whenever it is. If we're muhtasib, we say, okay, it's worth it because we figured it out. I'll end with this right here. It says, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً سَمِعَتْ بِذَٰلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. That may Allah's curse be upon those who found out and heard about Ashura later on. And so when they heard about it, they were happy with it. They were okay with it. They were satisfied and pleased with it. اللهم إن هذا يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وهذا يوم فرحت به آل زياد. These people, some of them weren't there on Ashura, but when they heard about it, they were happy. And this goes back to that Quranic principle. The Qawm Salih, the people of Salih, one of them hamstrung the camel of Salih, but everyone paid the price because the rest were okay with it. And so also, this is a wake-up call for us as well, that if we can't do anything about anything that's happening, the least is that we're not okay with it. The least is we take as many steps to prevent that as possible. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah for allowing us. Although I speak for myself here, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be up here. But we thank Him for giving us this opportunity. Will we be alive next year for another Arba'een? God knows. It's a crazy world. One after another, our ulama are dying. Our relatives, friends, people we know. And so I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be here for next year, Arba'in. Zunir, turn that off if you can, please. I don't know if I'm going to be here next year. And so all I know is right now I'm here and I will do dua that, oh Allah, allow me to experience Arba'in again in the haram of Imam Hussein, inshallah. Take things back to normal. I'm going to end with these lines of poetry that I spoke about in the beginning. It says, Ya dam zawafa, ya ashja'un nas ayat. Ya dam zawafa, ya ashja'un nas ayat. Vaz chashm taram sudaya almas ayat. It says, I remember the loyalty of the most courageous of all people. As I remember him, my eyes, from them fall tears of diamond dust. Ayad bijahan agar Husayn digari. Hayat baradari chu Abbas ayad. If there's another Hussein, that will come, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Never, never will a brother like Abbas ever come. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ.
To Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Utilsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترك همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Basing country issues on others is wrong. Pay attention to the domestic capacities. This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the president and members of the cabinet in Imam Khomeini's Husseiniyah on August 30th, 2022. The next matter is the presence of the people. In all these periods, the people have been the main heroes of the story and in the history of the revolution. There are those splendid marches, the impressive presence of the public, their presence at the front during the Holy Defense during the 8 years of war. and on the rest of the fronts, and the revolutionary marches that took place annually on the 22nd of Bahman, February 11th, and Quds Day. There are also the events that took place on the 23rd of Tir, July 14th, 1999, and the 9th of Day, June 30th, 2009. These are amazing things.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
In all these situations, the people have been the ones who have been able to create something incredible out of this. We need to remember these and let us count on these today. We need to learn from these. We need to learn how to behave with this nation. We need to learn how people should be treated. Whenever the Islamic Republic needed people to be present on the scene, they voluntarily show up without anyone asking them to. Remember the funeral procession of Martyr Soleimani, or the funeral procession that took place in Isfahan 2 or 3 days ago? Much can be understood from these. They show the direction the people are heading in. They show us the way. The Ghadir event in Tehran was a remarkable occurrence, and other such events. The people have always been a part of these. These shouldn't be forgotten. The commemoration of Martyr Rajai and Martyr Bahunar during Government Week is an example of this. It is a sign for us to cherish remembering. We need to cherish remembering itself. Remembering is a very important. It is something we need to practice.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.